Welcome to Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. I'm your host, Dr. William Baker. First, I want to wish that everyone is having a blessed week and everything is going okay. What we're going to talk about today is how to recognize when you're being spiritually invaded. We're going to talk about Christian self-awareness a little bit. And then we're going to finish out by concluding Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, when Jesus heals two men with demons. So you're probably sitting there saying, well, Dr. Baker, how do we know when we're being spiritually invaded? How do we, you know, create, how do we have that Christian self-awareness? Well, first, let me say, if you're being spiritually invaded, sometimes you might not know. That can be, you know, sometimes a truthful, blunt answer. If demons, and we say demons, as Christians, we know that they're fallen angels, but, you know, the demons, because we believe in Christ in heaven, that can sit there and impact our lives in a negative way and drive us away from God. They can make us very unhappy in our life, in our relationships, in what we're doing. And that having that self-awareness, you know, it's not always something, you know, at work. Well, it's my coworker and I just don't like it anymore. It's, you know, one of my relatives telling me this. And you might not think that it's a relative telling you that, but just think about what they're saying too, because it can be something that they're saying. So let's start with work. You may go to work and all of a sudden at work, you know, you start to really not like your job. Now, not everybody likes their job, but you have a choice. You know, you elected to do that work, so you can do it and be happy. If you're truly not happy because you don't like it, then make a plan to get out of that and do something that you do like. Now, it could be you like that kind of work, but something's happened. Maybe it's happened recently, or it's taken a little bit of time and it's slowly worked its way into your work life, and it's made it very miserable for you. It could be you don't like to hear someone talking. You don't like a personality or something there. Well, why? If it's a matter of them not having the same, you know, characters, morals, and beliefs that you do, we have a choice in that. But if you're going to stay there, you know, use the Christian principles. Love, peace, grace, long-suffering, you know, understand that person. There was a place I worked at, and I was an executive, and there were other executives. Now, our technical staff didn't want to go do things for this person. That person was an older female. And, you know, I'm an executive there, and I'm going to work in a suit every day. And I go in there, and they don't want to do the work. And I'm like, well, I'll go do it. But I said, that's fine. You know, it's not beneath me to do, I'll do all the work. It doesn't bother me. You know, it's not about pride. I do have pride, but it's not about losing pride or saving face or anything. I'm not lowering myself. You know, I'm going to provide that person a service. And I went down and I took care of what needed to be taken care of. And I talked to the person and, you know, I went back and talk to our tech guys. And I had done work for that person before. Similar. When they needed help with things, I would go help them. And I said, look, guys. Because it was all guys. We had one person who was a female, but they were not in that section. They were outside that section. They would take the calls and stuff and then assign it to the tech crew. So I went back there and I said, look, guys, simple, because they were asking me, how do you put up with her? How do you do this? I said, simple. I understand her personality. She's a nice person. You may not like her, but she has characters, morals, discipline, this is the way that person is, and I respect that. There was nothing morally or characteristically wrong with the person. She had a very high work standard. She wanted quality work done. And she did. Her work was very good quality-wise. She put the time in. She knew that not everybody had to put the same time in or effort, but she did have a certain standard. And she expected everybody to at least meet, you know, company standards and know the standards. It wasn't much to it, but they still didn't like that. They were afraid of her, and there's no reason to be afraid of her. So anyway, but that was, you know, like an example. Now, that being an example, in your situation, you could have a situation where maybe it is something whispering that into your ear, into your psyche, into your soul, and you're actually under attack. You know, make sure you're reading your Bible. Make sure you're saying your prayers. Ask God for help. And be confident in your Christian lifestyle and your Christian values and your Christian characteristics and morals. You know, be confident in who you are. Don't second guess yourself. Take pride in what you do. Be prideful of who you are. I'm not saying go over the top. Just be proud of that. And, you know, that's just work. But then you have other matters that involve family or relationships. Now, you could be having a difference with that person that's a legitimate difference. It could be a misunderstanding. It can be, you know, many things. And from a psychiatric perspective, you know, they'll want to break it down and they have some fancy name for it, which is fine. But you can't look at everything and put a label on it. Sometimes it's beyond that. Now, psychologists will try to do that. They'll say, oh, well, you're this, you're that, you're passive aggressive. They're having anxiety. They're obsessive compulsive. They're, well, whatever the label they want to put on it. But look at the person as the person. Look through your Christian eyes and evaluate the person. Remember, God wants us to discern. Discern for ourselves. Is this person worthy of my time, my conversation, my company? Because that goes back to, well, are you going to show pearls to your pigs? Your pigs are just going to trample them. You know? You don't want to do that. You want to save them, safeguard them from that. Well, it's just like relationships and stuff. Is it normal for a person to be acting or doing what they're doing? Is it valid? You know, you can walk through many different layers of determining if it's the person, the relationship. Maybe it was an interaction that you had with the person. Maybe it's not that it's an issue with that person. It's what they're saying and the context and message that they're communicating is not Christian. You know, maybe they're doing that. Maybe that communication between you and them has changed and it's taking you out of your comfort zone being a Christian. There's a lot to look at that. If it doesn't fit in the category of, you know, it's not something a normal person would do and you can't understand it, then reach out to the person directly. And when you reach out to them directly, you have to ask them. But you've got to ask them from the context of being a Christian. You know, hey, you know, I noticed a difference in things. And, you know, I am, my beliefs and stuff are this. And, you know, I'm having some conflicting times now because, you know, let them know. Maybe they respect you as a Christian. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. Who knows? But maybe they respect you as a Christian. And they've simply forgotten if they're not. And they're treating you like some of their other friends. And it's not that they want to treat you differently because you're a Christian, but that they respect you and value that time with you as a friend. You know, but maybe it is something. Maybe it's something, you know, the demon whispering in your ear. Are you thinking correctly about it? Not necessarily the other person or company. So it's just something to think about. You have to make that judgment. You have to discern that for yourself. So having said that, we're going to go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 34. And Jesus heals two men with demons. And this will finish up Matthew chapter 8. And then next time we'll start with Matthew chapter 9. So Jesus heals two men with demons. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. Now, that was the first verse in chapter 8. Now, when he come to the other side, what they're talking about there, he's leaving the Jewish side to the Gentile territory, right? He's going to that other side. Now, we're talking about Jewish versus Gentile there a little bit. You know, God hasn't ascended yet, the resurrection, and, you know, where it becomes simply a matter of faith at that point. So he went to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes. Two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs. The men were possessed with demons, and they were in tombs, living in tombs. They met him. And they come out so fierce, you know, they were there in the tombs, and they were so fierce that nobody went that way because they knew those men were there, and they were possessed with demons. And think about how violent that would be, how scary that would be. Verse 29, and behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" They recognized him. They let him know that they recognized him. And then they say, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" They know there's a promised time, but they're like, "It's not yet. You know, what are you doing here? You know, we know that the time is, we've got more time here." Matthew 8, verse 30. Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waves and the waters. Now let's take a look at that. Now the herd of pigs. Now the demons want it to be cast out into these pigs. The pigs were being raised for food. You know, the people needed food. And there was a lot of pigs. There's a couple thousand pigs there. So, you know, they said, "If you cast us out, put us in the pigs." And he did. And when he said, "Go," so they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. Now think about that. You've got pigs going into the waters. What does that mean? Pigs going into the waters. Well, that would be like end times for the demons, right? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they're just going to burn for eternity. So they go into the pigs and they go in, you know, to the water and drown. Crazy. Verse 33. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. Now, Jesus is in the country of the Gadarenes. The herdsmen fled because they saw what he did to the pigs, what he did to the two men and the demons, putting, you know, casting them out into the pigs. Now, the herdsmen knew nobody could go through that area because those two men. And he saw them, you know, the demons go into pigs and then go drown. And they went into the city and told everything, right? Well, the people in the city didn't like that, you know, and they come out to meet Jesus. It says that all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave the region. Well, they're not just eating the pigs. They're also selling them. It's money. It's food. It's a livelihood and life. And he just killed probably one of their biggest herds. So they've got nothing. Please leave. This is going to be terrible for them. But remember, this is also when he's there, it's also, you know, Gentile territory. So, but that's kind of crazy when you think about it, you know? Cast the demons out into the pigs. So they can actually go to the tombs now and that area. They don't have to be scared. All the pigs died. Went into the water and died. Now, they're Gentiles, and they asked him to leave. They might not have heard of him. A lot of people actually heard of him, though, because of the miracles he was doing. Probably some of them were afraid. A lot of them didn't quite believe. You know, begged him to leave. So, just thinking about that, you know, the whole town just scared of him. Some were scared because he had power over the demons and didn't believe. Some believed. They might not say anything because of those around them. Then others mad at him because the pigs died. But would you want to eat a pig that was possessed by demons? You know, he cast that in there. So, you know, if I was them, I would be really worrisome to me to eat a pig in the future. But Jesus has that power, right? He healed the men. The men were fine. You know, it doesn't say what the men went and told the town. Went back to their families? Did they have families? Doesn't quite indicate that. But God can cast those demons out. You can cast the demons out of your life, you know, when you're being spiritually invaded. So think about that. Think about what we talked about when you've got to think about the person. Think about it through your Christian eyes. Think about the person. Think about you, the influence, what you're seeing, what you're hearing. What you may not see in here. Maybe it's texture, context, something around you. You may be unaware of. Might just seem benign, but it could be what's causing all your problems or your suspected problems. You might not have any problems at all. It could just be, you know, and it could just be coincidence. You might say, it's too much to be coincidence. It's got to be something. No, it could just be coincidence. It's not always demons. It can be natural or it could just be your mind. And if your mind is like that, read your Bible, say your prayers, calm down. God is there. You can work yourself out of that. It takes time. Build up that spiritual currency by praying and reading your Bible. Be around other Christians. All of it's healthy for you, for your body, mind, and soul. So I haven't said that for the podcast this week. I just want to remind everybody that, you know, I always say I love everybody out there. I want the best for everybody out there. And that's true. Anybody that's worked with me will tell you I just want the best for everybody that's out there. And I do my darndest to help out with that. So, you know, if you need somebody to talk to, if you want to run something by someone, you know, I do have a bachelor's, master's, doctorate. A little bit smart. I tell some people I'm genius level. I am fairly smart, though. I understand a lot of business, other things, and religion. Religion is my foundation. So it's not that I do business or anything. I just love, you know, speaking the Bible, reading it, and religion and God, believing in God and Jesus, and confessing my sins. I hope you know, I've attained redemption for my sins and salvation. Everybody will pass one day, so do not lose the opportunity to take today, because at any moment could be your last. So if you haven't done so, accept Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Change your heart. Have a Christian heart, a God-like heart. Exemplify God while you're living and treat others with Christian characteristics and morals and ethics, and just be a good, upright Christian. But if you're having troubles, if you're thinking about harming yourself especially, you know, reach out to me. Go to Podbean, Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. Search for that on Podbean. You will find contact information. You will find my email, and you will find my address. Write me either an email or a letter. I will respond. Email. If you give me your phone number, I'll call you. You know, and just let me know. And be safe. God loves you. I love you. But you know, God loves you is the primary thing. And love others. Do unto others as you would do unto yourself. This has been Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. Have a blessed week.